Devils fans, this is your night. The Big Red Rage, coming up tonight at 6 on the home of Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 in the Arizona Sports app.
All right, welcome back into the Burns and Gambo Show. 5 o'clock hour as we're live from the Auction Community Studios. We did not, on the show sheet, have a lot of Sun stuff on there today. Not a lot of reason to, other than the fact that, and this is in some ways hard for me to believe, and in some ways it feels right. Today is the one-year anniversary of the day that Robert Sarver announced he was selling the Suns of the Mercury. That was a year ago today.
That was 1 year ago.
That was 1 year ago today.
I'm exploring options to trade the Phoenix Suns and Phoenix Mercury.
Yeah.
It was after all the backlash and sponsors. Robert, it was adamant that he was going to come back, you know, just do what was necessary and then come back. But a lot of the sponsors decided, and I think some of the owners too, especially one of them, I can't remember the guy's name.
John Najafi.
John Najafi.
That's right.
Adamant that Robert sell the team, I think. So I think that's when Robert put the team up for sale.
Yeah. I can't believe that was a year ago. So we weren't planning on talking a lot of Suns today. And then the unexpected happened. And it happened literally right at the start of the show.
Yeah.
To the point where I was doing the first 5 minutes of the show by myself because Gambo was off doing the Gambo thing. And the Gambo thing is on the phone, working the sources, getting information. Yep. And what you found out certainly has Suns fans talking. There's no question about that.
And it centers more around Damian Lillard than it does anything else. So what I'm hearing is that a Damian Lillard trade is going to happen. And it could be imminent. And so what I'm hearing is that I'm just going to get you my information here because I have it. That, you know, a Damian Lillard trade is going to happen, and it's going to happen soon. It could be any minute. It could be tomorrow. It might take a few more days. I mean, maybe it could be next week. But, you know, I said 24 hours. That was one of the things I heard earlier. Like, it's going to happen. There are four teams that are in on Damian Lillard. Miami's one of them, but I can't say for certainty that he's going to go to Miami. I mean, I put that at 50-50 that he goes to Miami. I do. I put it at 50-50. There are a bunch of teams talking, and I think if Damian Lillard is gone, then Portland would be willing to move Nurkic. And if Nurkic becomes available, what I'm saying is I would not be surprised if the Suns have discussions with Portland on Nurkic. He's a different player than a lot of the other players that were talked about for DA in the summer when the Suns were unwilling to move DA. And let's say a couple of things. Like, the Suns were unwilling to move DA in June and July and August and almost all of September. One, they do like him. And two, there weren't any good offers for him. Nobody was offering anything of value. You know, weren't going to take 50 cents on the dollar. Like, they weren't going to take JaVale McGee from the Dallas Mavericks for DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah.
Remember that? Yeah, you want Hardaway and JaVale McGee and they weren't going to make a bad trade like that.
But I think this story, to me, this is just my opinion here, kind of highlights the fact that your two reasons for why they didn't trade DeAndre Ayton this summer, we should flip them. And that reason number one should be they weren't getting really good offers for him. And number two was they kind of liked him too. I think now the willingness to entertain the idea of trading DeAndre Ayton for Yusef Nurkic really, to me, suggests that they wanted to move DeAndre Ayton. They were hoping to move DeAndre Ayton. They just weren't getting any offers for DeAndre Ayton because it is very, very debatable just what kind of an upgrade Yusef Nurkic provides over
Vogel,
DeAndre Ayton,
I do
or
know,
any kind of upgrade over DeAndre Ayton.
I do know that Vogel was very adamant about keeping DeAndre. Like, he did not want to trade DeAndre. And maybe that was a lot of it was, you know, we could trade DeAndre for JaVale McGee. No. We could trade DeAndre. No, I want DeAndre.
Maybe a lot of it was like, okay, I know we're not going to be able to move DeAndre Ayton, so I need to build the very best bridge between me and him that I possibly can so I can get the very most out of him.
He said all the right things about DeAndre.
All the right things. Yeah. I got to get him involved offensively so that I can get him to commit defensively. Oh, he looked great in the Bahamia national team. On and on. He said all the right things. I
think this will be somewhat unpopular.
Well, yeah.
I think Listen, Nurkic, it's not like Nurkic is 33 years old, right? He's still in his 20s.
Turned 29 about a week ago.
Okay, so he's 29 years old. Like, he's a skilled player. He's skilled. He's missed some games. He had a broken leg. But he's a good rebounder. Good rebound. Like, if you look up Nurkic's rebounds per minute, like, he's pretty good. He's a good passer. He's a skilled guy. But he's not a great player.
He's missed a lot of games the last few years.
Not a great player. I mean, you could argue whether he'd be an upgrade over DA or not. It could be, listen, I don't want to sugarcoat this. It could be the part of this is just getting off of DA, feeling like, you know what? What we want DA to do, he may never be able to do, and we need somebody that will just fill that role. Remember, James Jones has always been about, I'm not trying to win the trade. I'm trying to make us a better basketball team.
Sure. Yeah.
And if they feel that Nurkic is a better fit, maybe they pull the trigger on this trade. I don't know.
But that's
what it would be. It would be not like I'm trying to, who's better? I don't know. I think if I'm building a team and you get a pick, I'll take Ayton over Nurkic. But for what they're trying to do, they may feel that Nurkic fills a better role than DA does. That could be that simple.
DeAndre Ayton's got a tool belt that's got way more tools in it than Yusuf Nurkic does. I mean, way more tools. And look, I say this as somebody who, and you know this, you know that DeAndre Ayton, it's hard to trust DeAndre Ayton. It really is. It's hard to know how the guys in that locker room feel about DeAndre Ayton. It's hard to know, you know, are they all in on his brand of commitment, his level of commitment to the team? Does he give it all he can give every single night? There's no doubt that among physical skill set, DeAndre Ayton is in a way different universe than Yusuf Nurkic. And I'm not trying to justify something that might happen here in the next few days. But at least with DeAndre Ayton, at least with Nurkic, we won't have these lingering questions of, yeah, boy, tonight was just a real off night where DeAndre Ayton didn't look very engaged, didn't look like he really wanted to be out there very much. We had to bench him for Jock Landale, right? Like, we hopefully won't have those kind of nights anymore, because those kind of nights, this team's got championship aspirations. And as good as DeAndre Ayton might be, as skilled as he might be, you can't have his lack of effort or his lack of want to tearing this thing apart, keeping this from where they need to go. And I don't want to speak for all Suns fans. I'll speak for this Suns fan right here. That's the thing about DeAndre Ayton that scares me the most. This team is built to win yesterday. I mean, now, here. Let's go.
They were built to win yesterday. You're right.
They were.
When they got Durant, they were built to win last year.
They're built to win last year. They're built to win today. And I just don't want DeAndre Ayton's perceived lack of interest to tear that apart, to keep them from where they want to go. I hate to say something as cliched as addition by subtraction, but sometimes I've always wondered that about DeAndre Ayton. Would they be better off with him somewhere else? Because you just don't know what you're going to get from him on a nightly basis.
I'll put it this way to what you're saying. If for some reason the Suns do explore a trade with Portland and they make the trade, say they do explore it and they decide to make a trade, Ayton's going to put up, he's going to put up crazy numbers. No Dame Lillard there. Like, he's going to be the guy.
Sure, of course. Oh, yeah.
Like, he's like, you're going to look at Ayton on a regular basis. He's going to have 25 and 10, 25 and 12, 25 and 13. And you're like, oh my God. But he's the number one option there.
Yeah.
Like, he's probably the number one or number two option on that team, which he would never be here. So it's going to be somewhat of an unfair way to judge it.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have one guy that went from being the fourth or fifth option to being the number one or number two option.
And I really don't want to talk about this. It's a really good point. I don't want to talk about this trade like it's past tense. I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to work or not. But I do, to your point, that's what strikes me kind of as odd about this report that you've got here in front of us. What's odd about it to me is I don't know if I know why Portland would want to pay DeAndre Ayton that kind of money to be there the next 3 years. I just that part I'm not sure about. Why?
You know, because you're trading a 29-year-old guy for a 25. Both guys got 3 years left on the contract. What would you rather have? Your team starting over. Would you rather have a 29-year-old guy or a 25-year-old guy?
At a position that might not have as much relevance in today's NBA as it used to, I might rather have the less expensive guy because I've got more money under my cap to do other things, you know, because it is a center. And he's, you know, outside of the dominant three or four big men in the game, that position has become largely populated by role players.
You get him and he goes for 25 and 12.5 as an average. who's going to be easier to trade a year from now? Like, you might have you might have more value and upside.
Maybe you might establish value
with him as a number one or number two guy. Where people say, oh my God, look what DeAndre Ayton did in Portland. All of a sudden, now you can trade him and get more.
For a lot more on this, you can go to ArizonaSports.com where we've got lots of coverage about this. And of course, keep Gambo. If you're on X, the artist formerly known as Twitter, make sure you're following Gambo at 987, at Gambo 987, pardon me, because he will update that on a regular basis. Ridge Rider Days headed back to Desert Diamond Arena. On September 29th through October 1st, head to the contest page at ArizonaSports.com right now for your chance to experience the thrill of bull riding. So, whose best is better than the other team's best? The Cardinals or the Cowboys? That's coming up. Burns and Gambo.
Hey, it's Vince Marotta. Coming up on Football Friday, the Arizona State Sun Devils have their last ever Pac-12 opener. We'll get into that and preview the D-backs' big series in New York against the Yankees. It's Bickley and Marotta mornings, 6 a.m. here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Turning our attention back to the Cardinals and the Cowboys, and obviously the big news of the day from Dallas, if you're just tuning in, Trayvon Diggs, their all-everything cornerback, who had just signed a massive, what, five-year, $96 million contract extension in the offseason, $42 million guaranteed. He was off to a terrific start this year. His season's done, and it happened really quick today. He tore an ACL in practice. He was on one-on-one drills, tore his ACL, and the Cowboys, they confirmed it themselves about an hour and a half later. Like, yeah, he's out for the season. He's done. Big blow for them. Probably doesn't impact Sunday's game against the Cardinals because the Cowboys have so much more talent than the Cardinals do. But certainly their big picture, long-term, you know, desires and goals, yeah, you better believe that impacts them. Maybe they overcome it. Maybe, as you've pointed out, they've got the time to overcome it because they've got the whole season to kind of figure out how to play without him.
It's a benefit. That's a benefit. That it's now instead of, you know, that it's happened now instead of later, because there is time to figure out. Listen, you Dallas Cowboys, you're all in. You want to trade a first round or a second round pick to go get a cornerback at the trade deadline, then you do it. If this happens after the trade deadline, you're screwed. You're screwed.
Yeah.
So I do think for them, okay, at least the saving grace, you lose a great two-time Pro Bowl player. I mean, a bit with 5 years, $97 million contract. Like, he's one of the big-time players. But at least now you've got time to kind of figure out how to fix that.
Yeah.
As best you can. As best you can.
You like to call it a puncher's chance. I tend to harken back to like election night in America.
I felt like that's what I always had. Was at least a puncher's chance.
Yeah, not much else. I always think of those election shows on election night, whatever network you're watching, and they talk about the path to victory. What's the path to victory?
Yes.
You got to win this county. You got to win that county.
You got to get Michigan. You got to get Wisconsin. You got to get Pennsylvania.
What's the path, right? Okay. So the Cardinals' path to victory on Sunday, or for them, in your terminology, for them to have a puncher's chance, you and I both agree, and we think it's James Conner. We think that's the path. I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but it feels like if they're going to have that puncher's chance, if there is a path to victory, James Conner has to have a great night in which the Cardinals are completely controlling the football, running gobs of time off the
clock.
Wearing
out their defense.
Wearing out the Dallas defense. Trying to keep the Dallas offense on the sideline where they belong. And maybe, as important, keep the game close early so you can stick with the run and not feel like you have to give it up. That seems to be the path for the Cardinals.
Last year, 11 of the 17 opponents that the Cowboys had rushed for more than 100 yards against them. 11 out of 17. Green Bay had 207. Jacksonville had 192. The Giants had 167. San Fran had 113. So teams ran the ball well. This year, not so much, right? Matter of fact, they've given up 172 yards on the ground, but 79 of those came from quarterbacks running for their lives, just trying to escape that pass rush. So not a lot from the running backs, just 93 yards in two games from the running backs. Now, James Conner's got 168 yards in two games. Cardinals are running the ball pretty well. They're top 10 in the NFL in rushing. So if you're saying, and listen, this is what we do. Sometimes you break down, okay, we can come in here all day long and say the Cardinals have no chance to win. But some people want to say, well, what would they have to do to win? Okay, well, here's what they have to do to win.
Here's your path.
Here's your path. I'll give you a path. It still may not mean you
he may run well and you still will probably lose.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're looking for a path, that has to happen.
Yeah.
That has to happen for them to win.
All right, before we dive too much deeper into this, we have a path for you to go to the game.
How about them Cowboys?
Because that's your cue.
Sorry, that's all I got.
Is that it? Okay. That's your cue.
What?
Caller number 10. That's the cue for you to call in, and you'll score two tickets to the big game on Sunday. Caller number...
You could have called him like Cowboys suck or something?
The secret word
is suck.
For John Facenda.
602-260-9870.
The autumn wind.
602-260-9870. If you are caller number 10, you will go to the Cowboys and the Cardinals game. If you're caller number 10.
They are the Dallas Cowboys. America's team.
There you go, Mitch.
I love it.
There you go.
That's tomorrow's sounder at 5:20.
I like it.
We'll be doing this again tomorrow at 7:20 a.m., 12:20 p.m., and 5:20 p.m. tomorrow if you want tickets to go see the game. Again, 602-260-9870. I'll let you know when we have a winner and you can stop calling. We're not painting this picture like, oh, it's going to happen here, how it's going to, it's just kind of a here's how it can happen sort of thing. And then I think all the other stuff applies. The Cardinals need to win the turnover battle. The Cardinals need to, you know, they need to force Dak into a turnover or two.
Dak has two turnovers. Yeah. You don't turn the ball over. Connor, you know, they have a rookie kicker. He misses a couple of kicks because they've had some red zone struggles.
Sure.
The Dallas Cowboys red zone struggles continue.
Yep.
And their rookie kicker, who's been automatic, hasn't missed anything, misses a couple of kicks. And Dobbs doesn't turn it over, but Dak does. And Connor runs the, but there's a path.
Sure, there's a path.
Like, you might need all of those things to happen.
Yeah, and a lot of it is like copy paste. Like what does Team X need to do to beat Team Y on Sunday afternoon? I mean, a lot of it is the same stuff. It's everything that you just said. But I think at the core of it for the Cardinals, it is James Conner. Because he's been, I mean, it kind of gets lost because they're 0-2. But James Conner, 23 carries, 106 yards against the Giants. He had a 4-yard touchdown. He scored his 27th touchdown in just 30 games for the Cardinals. That's the second most of any player behind David Johnson. Nobody has scored more touchdowns in their first 30 games of the organization than James Conner has. He's sixth overall.
He's second to David Johnson.
Did I misspeak? I'm sorry. David Johnson has scored the most touchdowns in his first 30 games. James Conner is second.
Gotcha.
He's sixth overall in the NFL in total rushing yards. 10 first downs on his runs, which is in the top five.
He's a big bruising back to match up against what they do.
Yeah.
He can lay punishment on you, right? He's not a small back. He's a big back.
Yeah, he's a big back who could make it hurt a little bit. And by the way, Gwen Windler is the winner of the tickets.
Gwen.
She scored two tickets to see Cardinals Cowboys on Sunday. So
she gave out our tickets. Just like that, she's going.
Just like that, she's going.
Just like that. Gwen gets to go to the game.
We'll be doing it again tomorrow at 7:20, 12:20, and 5:20 tomorrow here on Arizona Sports. So, Connor's... look, I was going to say this last thing about Connor, too. I mean, he's sixth, like I say, sixth in the NFL in rushing this year. He's been a really good Cardinal. It's too bad that James Conner's career kind of fell where it did in the timeline of the Cardinals. You know, I mean,
I get what you're saying.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, like he kind of resurrected his career a little bit with the Cardinals, but they're not very good.
Yeah, I mean, he came here on the cheap. It was a really good signing by Steve Keim when they got him. He's had his share of injuries. He's missed a few games here or there. But for the most part, I feel like he's a guy who is really, for lack of a better way of saying it, I think he's really given a damn. I mean, like, he plays like he really gives a damn.
The year he got here was that year they went to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Then the next year they had then they re-signed him. They re-signed him to a 3-year deal, I think.
Yeah, it was a little more expensive. Honestly, it was a little more expensive than I would have wanted for James Conner.
Right.
And he's played well enough that I don't think about his contract very much anymore, you know? And that's real emotional growth for me, because I'm usually all anti-running back, or anti-big contract for running back. But that is something to keep an eye on with this game on Sunday. When we come back, everything seems to be going the way of the D-backs right now. Any reason to worry? There's always reason to worry. We'll share what our reasons are next on Burns and Gambo.
Hey, it's Wolf. How is Kyler Murray progressing, and when might the Cardinals franchise quarterback be back? We'll ask Cards GM Monty Austin for tomorrow at 11:15.
That's coming up tomorrow. Also coming up tomorrow, the Arizona Diamondbacks are in the Bronx taking on the New York Yankees. No D-backs baseball today, off day today, but in New York for the first of three. Gamble pointed out earlier, and it's a very important distinction. Gerrit Cole is pitching tonight for the New York Yankees, so he will not be available for this series. Thank you very much.
He's number one in like every category, right? ERA, innings pitched. I mean, he's having a dominant year. He's going to win the Cy Young in the American League. And you got to avoid him pitching at Yankee Stadium. Big win for the D-backs not having to face him.
No doubt about it. A quick glance. Oh, thank you very much, Pittsburgh. Bottom of the third.
Really?
Pirates are up 2-0 over the Cubs.
Willie Stargell, two-run homer?
No, Gamble. Pick somebody even older than that, please.
Roberto Clemente, two-run homer?
There you go. There you go.
Where's Honus Wagner?
That's a good one.
Bravo, Mitch. Bravo.
Bill Mazeroski hit another homer?
Bill Mazeroski!
Gambo's penchant for naming the oldest possible
the world.
Players from everybody's roster continues.
Bill Mazeroski. Oh, that's a good one right there.
No, it's 2-0. Andujar has two RBI for Pittsburgh. I don't know who that is.
Joaquin Andujar.
It's not Joaquin the dog Andujar. It's Miguel Andujar. He's got two RBI so far.
It's a former Yankee, Gambo. I'm surprised you didn't remember him.
Joaquin Andujar.
No. Miguel Andujar.
Miguel Andujar.
I'm just going to see when the last time Joaquin Andujar played. 1988. Last time he played.
So it's 2-0. The Pirates over the Cubs. That's the only game that impacts anything tonight. That's the only one. Mm-hmm. The Reds aren't playing tonight. Marlins aren't playing tonight. So there's not going to be a ton lost or gained. But I tell you, though, the last 24 hours for the Diamondbacks, it's like everything you could have wanted happened, right?
You got to have your cake and eat it, too.
Totally, yeah. Mm-hmm. You went back for seconds. You beat the Giants. You swept the two-game series. You've won five straight. All five were against important teams that you're competing with for playoff positioning. In fact, really, and I think it was Theo Mackey made this point on social media, who pointed out that the last nine games the Diamondbacks have played against teams they're competing with for playoff spots in the National League, they went 8-1 in those nine games.
That's incredible.
The four against the Cubs there, the three against the Giants Cubs here, the two against the Giants here. You went 8-1 in those games. And then last night, everybody else lost.
Right.
Everybody
Thank
else
you,
lost. Thank you, Pirates.
Thank you, Mets.
Thank you, Mets. Thank you, Twins.
Twinkies.
We appreciate everything you have done to help the Cubs. So here's where things stand for the Diamondbacks right now. All right. And we're doing a gambo here, and we're looking at just the loss column.
Yeah, please, because that's what matters.
Just the loss column.
Right, because
The Arizona Diamondbacks right now have wild card spot number two out of three.
Yep.
Okay. So they're in second. Counting the tiebreaker the Diamondbacks have over the Cubs, and they do have that tiebreaker, they have a two-game lead in the loss column over the Cubs.
So right now it's a two-game lead over the loss
column. It's a one-game, but I'm adding another game because they've
got
the
really
tiebreaker.
So it's really a two-game lead because of the tiebreaker.
Yeah, one game, but really a two-game because of the tiebreaker.
Right.
They've got a two-game lead over the Miami Marlins. They've got a three-game lead over the Cincinnati Reds.
Don't have the tiebreaker against either one of those teams.
Nope.
So better to be the team right below you, better that you have the tiebreaker over them than the other two teams.
Well said.
Like they're in a good spot.
They're in a good spot.
Good spot.
Yeah, they're in a really good spot.
Let's go. Playoff baseball for the D-backs. Let's get it.
It's so good, and I hesitated before doing this morning, but I had to look. I couldn't help myself.
Okay.
I went to Fangraphs.com. They project playoff odds. I went to BaseballReference.com. They project playoff odds. On Fangraphs, Diamondbacks are sitting at 84.9% odds of making the playoffs. Baseball Reference, they're at 87.2% of making the playoffs. Now,
we should not go with percentages here in this state of Arizona. They never work our way. What was the Cardinals had a 96% chance in the third quarter of winning that game against the Giants. How did that work out for you?
It didn't work out very well.
Yeah, let's like this. Honestly, it's like this win percentage thing is not that. It's not that good.
I know.
I really don't like it.
I shouldn't have looked. I couldn't help myself. It was you know like.
You got three games. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say it's like putting a plate of chocolate in front of me. It's like I'm not going to not
peanut butter?
Chocolate with peanut butter?
With peanut butter.
I'm not eating that. Mm. I'm not. It's impossible.
You like Nutella?
Love Nutella.
Okay.
Oh, Nutella's fantastic. Oh,
I freaking love that stuff in Italy, man.
With a jar and a spoon and a Nutella.
It's on everything.
It's so good. It's so bad for you, but it's so good. Yeah. Anyway.
Nutella gelato.
What were you going to say now?
I have no idea. No, what I was going to say is like the only thing that they can't really afford to do is just have a collapse. Like you can lose a game or two to the Yankees.
Yeah.
You don't want to lose two out of three to all three of these teams. But you could have, like, if they lose tomorrow, like, it's not the end of the world. Okay. It's not the end of the world. Like, there's no benefit in, like, you're either going to play Philly or Milwaukee, right? You're not going to catch Philly.
No.
So there's no benefit. Like, to me, I'm not really chasing what's better, the first wild card, the second wild card, or the third wild card.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it matters whether you're the second or third wild card team.
They're three games behind the Phillies in the loss column to move up to that top spot. Now,
I think I'd rather play Milwaukee.
I think, but then you'd be home. If you flipped with Philly, you'd be home for those three games. Would you still?
What if you don't flip with Philly?
Well, you'd be on the road, but you'd play Milwaukee if you fell to sixth in the wild card race.
Right.
I'm just saying, if the Diamondbacks were somehow to pass the Philadelphia Phillies, they're three games back in the loss column, so it'd require a Phillies collapse and the Diamondbacks to keep on winning. I'm just saying, if you were able to flip with them somehow, then that series you'd get the Phillies, but that series would be here.
No, we never looked at the tiebreaker between the Phillies and the D-backs.
That is a very good question.
We've never done it because I've just never really. I'm going to take a quick look because we've never done it for the simple fact that we just didn't think that the Phillies were a team that you could catch.
Mitch, do you happen to know off the top of your head?
No, that's all right. I'm looking.
Are you looking?
I think they're separated by 3.5.
Oh, no. I was the tiebreaker. I was curious about the tiebreaker between the D-backs and the Phillies.
Okay, here you go.
What do you got?
The Phillies, the Diamondbacks have it.
They've won
the Diamondbacks
head-to-head.
Won 2 out of 3. Oh, wait, 2 out of 3. Arizona's won. No, it's tied. It's tied. They played 6 times.
Okay, so I don't even know what the next tiebreaker is.
They played 6 times. Phillies won 3, and Arizona's won 3. They played 6 games against each other, and it's 3-3.
It probably doesn't. Okay, hold on. I'm looking at I know it. I know it. I got it here. Thank you, Jack Summers. I appreciate that.
Look at you. Just look at you.
The
master with that stuff.
The Phillies have it. The Phillies have it, according to the chart.
Second tiebreaker.
Yeah.
The second tiebreaker.
Yeah, the Phillies have it, according to the chart I have. So, look, it doesn't matter. They're probably not going to catch him anyway. there's a little bit of margin for error here. Here's the thing I would caution everybody with the Diamondbacks, though.
Yeah.
Like, and I heard our morning show talking about this today, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday, too. It needs to be said again. You can't get too comfortable with this team. Now, I know things are going great right now. They've won 5 straight. They've won all these important games these last couple of weeks, okay? But just when you think they've turned a corner, they've had this penchant in the month of September for turning back around the corner. You know, they took 3 of 4 from Cincinnati. They looked like they were in a good spot. Dodgers swept them. They lost 2 of 3 to the Orioles. Then they turned around and won that series against Chicago, but then they lost 3 of 4 to the New York Mets, right? Like, it has been an absolute roller coaster of love for the Diamondbacks all September long. It's just been, it's here, up, and it's down there. And so just when you think you've arrived, you just got to be careful because we've seen this team follow up big moments this month and they've fallen flat on their face.
Right.
And you just got to be careful with that a little bit, right?
Yeah.
The Met series in particular, it's like, what are you doing? You just took 3 or 4 from the Chicago Cubs. What are we doing here, right? You got to be careful about that.
I think that the only thing that could really hurt you right now is a complete collapse. I think if you play 500 baseball, I think you're going to get in. I will say that, Mitch, you missed a very important date on the calendar today. It's not just the 1-year anniversary.
Oh, no. Time out. You missed a very important date on the calendar today.
How did I miss it?
You missed the first 5 minutes of the show. We played it without you.
You son of a gun.
You know what? Because he wasn't here and because I really love that song.
We played it.
Did you really?
Of course we did.
You opened the show with this?
Yes. I opened the show with it.
We opened the show with it.
Who was I?
You were on the phone with somebody.
Doing the Gambo thing. You're on the phone. You walked into the show 5 minutes late today.
Wow.
Yeah. There we go.
Crank it up, Mitch. Don't you remember 21st night, September. Changing the minds, September.
Well, after all that legal training we went through today, do we have to cut this song off after about 15 seconds?
No. No, we're not selling anything off of it. Somebody's profiting.
We were in legal training all day today.
Yes.
My head is swimming with legal information.
Hold on. One more time, Mitch. One more time.
Do you know what we forgot? We didn't forget anything, my friend. Do you know what you were late for? Your own show. We played it. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, Micah Parsons, the Lion? We'll explain next on Burns and Gambo.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Burns and Gambo, what's on tonight?
All right, the games that we're going to watch tonight brought to you by Global Credit Union. 12 branches here to serve you. Become a member today at globalcu.org.
I'm going to a concert.
I know. So before you tell us what won, let me tell everybody what's on tonight. Bottom of the fourth, the Pirates are still beating the Cubbies 2-0. Thank you very much. No Diamondbacks baseball. This is the only game that impacts the National League playoff race. So there's that. And then Thursday night football tonight, they are through the end of the first quarter. Yeah. The Giants and the 49ers, a 3-3 ball game right now. That is the score there. Other than that, that's it.
That's what's on tonight.
There's some college football on tonight, too, it looks like. No, high school. I'm sorry. That's a high school game in front of me. But, yeah, you got NFL tonight, and you've got one baseball game that impacts the Diamondbacks, course, tomorrow.
Yeah.
D-backs in the
East. I'm going to a concert tonight.
Yeah, you are?
Yeah. I will tell you this. Blue Oyster Cult is playing at Celebrity Theater tonight.
You're not going to Blue Oyster Cult?
I'm not going. Well, Blue Oyster Cult is playing tonight. Celebrity Theater. Or is it tomorrow? Maybe tomorrow.
If it's tomorrow, go.
Maybe I should go tomorrow.
How many times have you seen him?
7?
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
So they're playing, I will say, they're playing at Celebrity Theater. Blue Oyster Cult.
Did you figure, is it tonight or tomorrow?
It's tomorrow.
Oh, it's tomorrow.
Wait. Maybe it's tonight. I don't know. Maybe they're playing tonight and tomorrow.
Okay, there's this little thing. It's called a date. And there's a number.
I'm just looking at something here. It says Blue Oyster Cult tickets September 21st. But then I'm saying here, Blue Oyster Cult with a special guest on September 22nd. I don't know.
Maybe they're playing two nights. Is it a two-night tour?
For BOC?
BOC is such a BD. There's a two-night stay.
Who wouldn't want to hear this iconic song? They're playing... No, it's tonight. What? Tonight they're at Celebrity Theater. I'm looking at the calendar. They're playing tonight at Celebrity Theater.
Well, look,
tomorrow they're in...
To hear this iconic song?
They're at the Kern County Fair tomorrow in Bakersfield, California. Tomorrow they're at the Kern County Fair.
Crank it up, Mitch! If you want to hear Blue Oyster Cult, you don't have to go to the concert. All you have to do is listen to this show.
I wonder if Gambo has like a secret life as a BOC groupie, or he just follows them on the road.
I can see that. It was my first concert.
I could see that.
Maybe your first girlfriend has sentimental. My first concert. Like, your first concert has it. Crank it up, Mitch!
Romeo and Juliet. Together in eternity.
Your first concert. It means a lot, your first concert.
I'm going to wake up in the middle of the night to the sound of, crank it up, bitch!
Will you guys ever, when I retire, will you guys ever play this song again?
Yeah.
Okay. You'll keep this in honor of me. It's probably the only thing I could ask for when I go.
Does that mean I just accelerated the timeline on your retirement?
No, but I just, when I'm gone, when I retire, I want the old dirty bastard. This is it for me. This is the last contract. When I'm gone, will you guys keep this song playing?
Yeah, we'll play the song.
Okay. I am going to a secret show tonight.
Oh, you do this from time to time.
I'm going to the secret show.
It's usually country artists.
Yes, it's a country artist.
And it's they don't say who the artist is
going to be. I have no idea who's playing.
They just, you show up and, hey, there you go.
It was Dan and Shay last time. The time before that, it was... Cole Swindell.
Okay.
Kind of like three of them. I'm going to a country concert tonight, the secret show, because my wife loves country music.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know who's playing.
I did that once with an online retailer.
Yeah.
Where you can order like a mystery box. And they'll just throw, depending on how much you pay, they'll throw three items in there, four items in there, five items in there.
Is it worth it?
Yeah, I mean, you get the stuff that like half off, right? Because they're just looking to clear stuff off their shelves. So you do the mystery box option. You have no idea what you're getting. You just give them a size, and they throw stuff in the box, and they send it to you. So you get
what's in the box.
It's kind of fun, actually. You get the box in the mail, and you do. You have a little bit of a Brad Pitt 7 moment. What's in the box? What's in the box? You open the box, and you go, I'll wear that. I'm never wearing that. I'll wear that. There's no way in hell I'm wearing that. You know, and you just
so it's not worth it.
And so, well, no, if you walk out of it and you've got three things that you're gonna wear, it was worth it because you got them at a. You know, I don't do it all the time. In fact, I think I've done it once, but I thought it was kind of a cool deal.
I will say, tomorrow we and you are at Sanderson Ford.
Yes,
I want to get that out. We're at Sanderson Ford, 51st Avenue in Glendale. We don't get out very often, but if you want to come see us in person. We are at Sanderson Ford, 51st Avenue in Glendale, tomorrow for our show.
We are, and I think we are registering people. Yeah, here's the deal. It's your last chance to win a road trip to see the Cardinals in San Francisco. If you're among the first 50 fans to arrive, you'll get an exclusive limited edition State 48 Dawn of a New Era t-shirt.
You arrive at 2, not at 12.
Yeah,
we'll be there too.
We'll be there too.
2 o'clock.
Head to the contest page, straight up 2 o'clock. Head to the contest page at arizonasports.com and we'll have all the details for you there. But we'll be out there. The t-shirts will be out there if you're among the first 50 fans to arrive. And you could win a road trip to see the Arizona Cardinals in San Francisco. That's in a week from now. I assume tomorrow we'll have a lot more about Yusuf Nurkic and Dame Lillard and DeAndre Ayton. Maybe we won't. I don't know. But certainly,
if Dame gets traded, just keep your eye. Again, people like a lot of what I say goes global on Twitter. but if, you know, if Dame gets traded, I do think a Damian Lillard trade is imminent.
Global, really? Global?
I mean, it's like different countries. Like you go look on my Twitter page how many different languages are being. I've seen Japanese, Chinese, I've seen Argentinian.
Global.
Yes, it gets picked global? Up by a lot of different. Brazil. I've seen Brazil pick it up.
I'll give you the country, but the world?
He just called it Argentinian, too. Come on.
I've seen stuff in a whole bunch of different languages.
Okay. All right.
Suns fans in other countries.
I'm just being kind of your fact checker over here. I just want to make sure. Are we global? Are we sure about that? I just want to make sure. All right.
Listen, all I'm saying is if Damian Lillard gets traded, I'm hearing a trade is coming very soon. Very soon for Damian Lillard. That could open up Portland to move Nurkic. If they were open to willing to move Nurkic, I think the Suns would show some interest. That's it.
All right, we might have more about that tomorrow. It's going to do it for us. The Big Red Rage is next. Kaiser White's going to be the special guest tonight. That's coming up at 6. We'll see you tomorrow straight up 2 o'clock here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a great night, everyone.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.